Administration.
For, Madam Board President, I have some.
Okay.
You have several items in front of you, and I want to just give you a brief explanation of what they are.
Okay.
Okay. There is a new agenda. For the agenda was revised to reflect the addition of one item added to closed session.
Okay.
For item 8.2.1, the attachment on the consultant service agreement, page 1 was revised to correct the dates of service.
Okay.
These items are hopefully highlighted in yellow for you, so it's easy to see.
Okay.
Item 8.5.1.2, on the attachment for the LCAP consolidated application, page 1 of the application was revised to include the full name of the DLAC representative and to add the web address where the minutes for the meeting at which the application was approved by DLAC will be posted.
Okay.
And then item 8.5.2.1, the 2018-19 adopted budget. There is a revision on page 3 of the budget, and that's page 355 of the board book.
Okay.
So you guys all have those at your desk, and I just wanted to point those out.
Thank you. Okay, our next item is public comments. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak?
Hi, good evening. This is Stephanie Koch, Stephanie's Ed Foundation. Hello, everybody. And I'm sure most of you know by now, or have you ever heard, this is my last month officially as president of the board. And I just wanted to thank you all so much for your support over the last 4 years that I've been on the board and 2 years as president. And I think we've been able to do some wonderful things and definitely get our name more out into the community and with the parents and so forth. We're going to be having a board meeting tomorrow night where we'll be voting on our new members. And so a message for the last all of you, or I can notify you, Chris, of who our next council members will be. Other than that, please continue to support the foundation and look forward to seeing you as a parent in our schools. So thank you all very much.
Thank you
for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Okay. The superintendent's report is next.
I have a brief report this evening. It's been a busy week with lots of planning for the coming school year. Just all of this planning goes under all the district goals, so I grouped them together for us. And I know this week we did our final leadership meeting on Thursday with a training on the new evaluation tools. People are really excited about the new tool and what it's going to mean in terms of supporting teachers with professional growth and feedback, and I feel like the tool is going to provide for a more meaningful process. Planning for our skill training in August, we have those days set for our skill leaders to come back. Planning for our August leadership training, we had a meeting with Casey yesterday with plans for next year, things that we want to make sure we get done in August. And we had today and tomorrow are full days of integrated ELD training for all site administrators. I had a great day at the county office today. I just was upstairs around the corner. And just full engagement of our team. I just got photographs, or I would have had them on there. I just shared with Claudia that Julia, Marianne, Elizabeth, Jessica and Sophia Sorensen here from the county office planned a really meaningful day of learning, and I know that tomorrow will continue to be so, and we're going to continue that work with our teacher leaders and our site leaders into the coming year. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank Frank for his service to our school district, for his unyielding commitment to students. It's been a pleasure and honor to work with you, Frank. We're going to miss your sense of humor. We're going to miss you keeping us grounded and focused on the right things. So with gratitude, I celebrate your last night with us.
Well, thank you. And I'm just going to say, it's just a wonderful place to be and work. And I just enjoyed every single day. And I was blessed to have the opportunity. So thank you all very much.
Great. Board report, Deb.
Thank you for watching all of your endeavors and keep us posted from where you are.
Frank, I want to wish you the best too. I haven't known you too long, so I'm sad that I don't get to know you better, but thank you for your service to the district and all your comments. You always seem to be very student centered, so really appreciate that contribution. And thank you, Stephanie. Sort of the same thing. I didn't get to know you too well, but I look forward to it even though you'll be in a different role. Thank you for your service. What I've learned about the Ed Foundation is incredible and look forward to learning more about it. Thank you for the contributions it brings.
Stephanie, I want to thank you for the energy and enthusiasm that you brought to the foundation, and thank you again for your service. And Frank, I want to thank you for everything that I've learned from you. What I really love about being a board member is my opportunities to learn, and you've been one of my teachers, so thank you.
Frank, I guess I echo the sentiments that have already been said, and I'll miss our thoughts of cookies that we knew from you. And to Stephanie, I'd like to thank you very much for the dollars that you generated and the kind letter that you sent us when you made your decision to work with your family, and also outlining how far the Education Foundation has come. In my perspective, there had always been really good work, but to see it all laid out in front of me was really somewhat overwhelming. So I really appreciate the work you did. I'm in hopes that the next leader at the helm will have as much energy as you did, and it benefits our students, and for that, our community. So thank you.
Frank, I want to thank you for, you've reminded me to be kind and positive just by the way you are. And I really appreciate that, and I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Okay. And Stephanie, I can't help but think about you stepping in at a time when it was very, very hard. And anybody who would step in was, you know, slightly crazy to do so. So, you know, you lasted, realizing it's been this long. You know, this, you've lasted a long time and done some great things, so thank you very much.
And I want to echo the sentiments of all of my fellow board members. Frank, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate your thoughtfulness, and you have your skill in listening and absorbing and helping us understand. Really appreciate it. And Stephanie, like they said, your energy is amazing. You're so organized and able to make things happen. That's just a great skill. Thank you for your role that you've performed and for what you'll do in the future. Our next item is our approval minutes.
Oh, we actually don't have any
minutes. We don't have any minutes. Okay. Then we will move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that board members have questions about? Jeremy, question or pulled? Or do you want a question or do you want to pull?
Well, I was desperately looking for a room to examine, but seeing none, I would like to. I have questions, very brief questions that I do not need these pulled for.
Okay.
On 8.2.1 and 8.2.5.
Okay. Any other board members? Okay, then go ahead, Jeremy.
So on 8.2.1, this is a contract with, let me get my glasses on. This is a contract with Carolyn Post, not to exceed $20,000 through June
2019. That was the correction.
Right. And I just would like to know how much we spent this year.
It was under, I don't know exactly what. We could get that to you.
Okay. Just like to have that information.
I think it was about 18 and change.
Was it?
Get it. I'll get the exact dollar
amount,
though.
Okay. And then that takes care of that one. And then 8.2.5, we have a change on the mural from Clean Oceans International to the Tim Brauch Foundation. Question one, is there fiscal impact? Is there any fiscal impact on due to this change?
None to our district.
And two, if it's appropriate to ask why the switch?
I was under the impression, Jeremy, that that the individual they make reference to in their communication to us, they did not elaborate, but I understand he, this one individual is on, I guess he travels pretty extensively. You may know him, I know it's a small town, so, but there's a person that is the primary person who started it. I think he is traveling a great deal. They didn't elaborate. You're raising your hand, Deb, but that's just
not
the
little.
Oh, sorry. They did not elaborate, Jeremy, with me.
But the person who is going to complete the mural, Taylor Reinhold and Company, they're aware that they have a deadline of, I believe it was January 5th. It was a 6-month sort of a thing from the date of approval, or maybe 9 months. But it was January 5th. I remember that, right?
January. Just remind me, Jeremy. James, I'm trying to go back.
The condition of us. I believe it was a $20,000 contribution towards materials, and I believe that one of the conditions was this will be done by, I believe it was January 5th.
What I recall, Jeremy, is that they had intended to begin this project in the fall.
Right.
So January of 19 is what you're referring
yes.
to.
Yes.
Right.
January of 2019.
Right.
All right. The Oceans International, Clean Oceans International, that worked because it was an oceans theme. And by the way, I know this is just a mural, but it will be seen by more people than any building in Santa Cruz City Schools. It is our, in some ways, a marquee project, and we should be aware of that. So we want it to look good. Right?
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm going over time.
So what it says, Jeremy, in the contract, is that within 10 months after the effective date of this agreement, the approved work must be completed and the sponsor must submit an itemized right. invoice and copy of all original data.
If I may ask, when was that date of approval? Yeah.
I think I'll try. I bet
it was early March.
I was going to say March.
Yeah,
that's what in my head, but I didn't
know. Which will bring us to January?
To January.
January, yeah.
Mm-hmm. From, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Other questions?
Yes, March.
Comments from the public? Your motion.
I move approval.
Second.
Thank you so much. Should
roll
call?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Okay, now we have our vote on expulsion 14-17-18.
I move to approve the expulsion of student 14-17-18.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? 7-0.
Thank you very much.
And expulsion 15-17-18.
I move to approve the expulsion of student 15-17-18.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Second. Okay. 7-0.
Thank you so much.
And now a report of actions taken in closed session.
The Board of Education heard information on expulsions 14-17-18 and 15-17-18 to prepare for a vote on these matters in open session. The Board of Education took action on certificated classified management leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. The Board of Education did not receive any information from the employee discipline dismissal release complaint. The Board of Education heard an update from and provided direction to Ms. Parks regarding negotiations with the SCCCE for 2017-18. The Board of Education heard information regarding and rejected a liability claim. The Board of Education discussed a public employee performance evaluation titled Superintendent.
Okay. And now we move to new business. Item 8.5.1.1.
This is the LCAP. And as you know, last week we had an opportunity to provide the board and the subject an overview. And then we held a public hearing. Now we are required and scheduled to move for the approval of the Santa Cruz City Schools LCAP for 2018-19. And so it's before you today for that very reason.
Okay, any other questions? Jeremy?
Yeah, I'd like to spend just a few more moments. Molly's got somewhere to go. I'd like to spend just a few moments reviewing. I'm on page 176 of 798. It's page 12 of 174. How to put this? There are many ways to measure how a district is doing, how a student is doing, how a teacher is doing, how a person is doing. But using the CAS results, which we now have for a three-year period of time, it would be possible to say that we're going in slightly the wrong direction, just based on the CAS results. And I want to state that for the record. If I look at all students at the very top, elementary, ELA, we're down 2 over 3 years, 2% to 53%. If I look at all students, elementary, mathematics, we're down 10. That's a significant decline. And by that I mean that now we have 45% of our students, and not percent more, meeting or exceeding standards in ELA, elementary, 53%. If we look at all students secondary ELA, we're down 3 from 62 to 59. This is over a three-year period. And if we look at mathematics, we're down 1 secondary from 43 to 42. Just looking at those, I mean, numbers can be overwhelming, but I just hope that we can, one, let teachers know how important these tests are. Because it's one thing to say that we teach the whole student, that's great. Students are more than just a test result. But let's teach the whole student, and on top of that, kick some you-know-what on these tests. So I'd like to say that we need to promote a culture, not that we haven't. I want to be careful with my language, but these test results matter, to me at least. I'm speaking personally as a board member. And I'm disappointed, not in anyone in particular, but I'm disappointed looking at these results. We would like the trajectory to be up, not down. It's as simple as that. And I could use some guidance in terms of what we're going to do next year that's different, and so that we can see at least in one of these areas that trajectory leveled out and moved upwards. Because I think we're all in agreement we'd like that trajectory to be in a positive and not a negative. Thank you for listening.
So I really appreciate it. To address, you know, we agree with you.
Yeah.
And these aren't results that any of us is excited about.
Right.
We looked at data this morning to start our work, and particularly looking at what's happening for our English learners, because if you look at our white students and our white students and students who aren't economically disadvantaged, we don't want to see anybody flat. We want to see everyone growing. This isn't cohort data, so it'd be important for us to look at cohort data too. And we did see some differences when we looked at cohort data at the beginning of the year. But this is an important snapshot.
Yeah.
And we are asking questions, and we're working on it as a leadership team. We're working on it in our planning for professional development. We'll be working on it with all our skill leaders. We're increasing skill leaders in the secondary so that every department as a skill lead, not just the core content areas. And there are a lot of things in this plan that represent shifts. We're shifting how we're doing our coaching. We're taking what we're learning from other districts that are doing better than us. And we want to see our kids more successful on these measures and just continuing to grow overall. And it's very, very rigorous assessments. I still need to bring samples of it so you all can see what we're talking about, what the students are doing, and we want them to be able to do it. We watched a video this morning of integrated ELD in a kindergarten class that was incredibly rigorous, looking at force and cause and effect. And the designated ELD lesson that accompanied the integrated ELD lesson with that was just incredibly powerful, even for our high school people to look at, to realize what the expectation is of our five-year-olds. So we agree with you. Teachers want their kids to succeed, every single one of them, and we need to give them the tools and the resources and the professional learning to help them get there.
I have one quick question. Is there anything structurally this board can do to make sure that students try their hardest and they're in environments that promote best effort? For example, minimum days on testing. Is there anything that you need the board to do to that promotes that direction that we don't have in place yet?
You know, I think that, you know, that's a conversation for us to have about what that might look like. I think I'd want the school sites to talk about what would that look like that would best support the conditions for testing. I know that Harbor got just preliminarily some better results, and they did a different testing schedule this year where they did a late start, and all the 11th graders came in and tested before the rest of the school got there. So we're looking at those things. Are there some structural things that support it? I know that this year that having the testing interrupted by 4 days of down internet when kids were supposed to be testing and teachers were expecting to be testing inevitably will have an impact. Just having a seventh grader that came home complaining about, I was supposed to get my test done today and we didn't have, that creates a feeling for kids and for staff. And we did get our 10 gig network yesterday. It finally, after 2 years, thank you to Curtis and to the business team, we finally got our 10 gig network. And for Pat's advocacy and badgering of AT&T that made that happen. So we want to do what we can to control those variables that do have an impact on testing conditions, and it's something that we're looking at and thinking about it. And we're going to continue to be in conversation about how do we continue to improve this and the outcomes for it.
Last point, if you will allow me. You mentioned that one of the, and very logical, processes we're going through is talking to districts that are doing better, that are seeing that upward trajectory. It would really be enlightening for me as a board member to have a report on that at some point in the near future. I can wait. I really appreciate a structural change because we now have an agenda item at the very end of the meeting that says discussion possible items for future meeting agendas.
Right.
And I'd love to not forget, if you'll remind me, that that is something we could really talk about. In a nutshell, an executive summary kind of thing, what are other districts doing? And I don't want to say just to get these scores up, because these scores are reflective of how our kids are doing.
You know, it was something that's going to be helpful to us is we saw almost an exact correlation from our math predictions, from our math assessment predictions to our preliminary results from 2018 spring on the CASP test. So there's the math test is going to be a really good indicator of where our kids are in comparison to CASP. It was within 1%. So that'll be an important tool for us in terms of progress monitoring the work that we're trying to do, progress monitoring our interventions, those things.
Yeah.
Well, I just want ditto Jeremy until it's summer. I could think it was ditto. That I would like to have some of that information too. I think I fight more with a worry in me. It has nothing to do with will. I know from knowing you over all these years that we've been talking about with the kids, the ELL kids and stuff, the concern about not being able to make it better. But I find myself worrying. We've made a lot of changes. I mean, the state, with Common Core, with data, with focusing on data, and part of me worries, like especially when you said like the rigorousness of 5-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that the rigorousness of 5-year-olds is necessarily doing anything except making them anxious.
These kids were really happy. I'll send you the video of the classroom. It was awesome.
Home presentation.
I still have those concerns, and I think what I'm missing that you may have is an idea of where, how this is working and where. And so I agree with Jeremy. I would really like to have more of that information, because otherwise I find myself thinking about the things that we gave up with our younger kids, thinking they weren't important anymore because we had technology, and it turns out that they are the things that develop the brain. So, mm-hmm. You know, I worry that we're making, as a society, and then in our own, as a district, that we're making mistakes that we don't see. But maybe it's because I don't see, you know, what happens when this works, and that you really see the students thriving. So it would be really helpful to have that.
If you were interested, I'd be happy to share the videos we used in today's professional development. There are links to them.
That'd be great.
And just of classrooms mm-hmm. where teachers are working to integrate language development yeah. into mm-hmm. their lessons. Mm-hmm. I'll forward the agenda so you can have those.
Okay. Comments from the public? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it.
I popped it up in my last
Go ahead.
I think it's helpful for me when I look at these numbers to keep in mind what you said, Chris, that this is not cohort, so this is not longitudinal. So we're not seeing, you know, groups of students as they're walking through the curriculum. And the broader context is we're developing a master curriculum plan, we're developing a plan for English language learners. At the elementary level, we've had a lot of significant curricular shifts that the teachers are really grappling with and implementing. And that helps me understand, because we're seeing the dips in numbers more dramatically at the elementary level than the secondary mm-hmm. level. And so maybe those contextual factors are playing a role in some of these dips that we're seeing. And so I'm hopeful that we will see a shift in the other direction as the teachers get more comfortable and experienced with new curriculum at the elementary level.
We're not going to see it this spring. This data, this year's data, is not going to be what we want it to be.
It's too soon, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's, I don't know. It's a snapshot in time. So,
go ahead.
Yeah. One other constituency here to add to the list of variables that go into these courses is obviously the students, and I'm sure you do this with the principals and they with their assistant principals and teachers, but it can be very tricky to create a culture where the students want to take these tests seriously. And in my experience, it takes a real plan to get to that point and a school culture to get to that point, because it's easy to write them off, and they're difficult exams. You really have to think to get through these tests, even at the low elementary level. There are ways to get at that, but it's not real easy. But I would assume that's part of the conversation and bringing the student leaders in. Okay, why are these tests important? It's not obvious to kids why they are. Maybe not obvious to us why they are. But one variable, of course, is the colleges do look at these scores, and they have sort of a profile of your district, and they have a profile of your school, and the stronger your scores are, then the stronger you're seen as a student at a particular school. Just as one example. And when I have those kind of conversations with kids, they say, oh, I never thought of that. Because they've already taken their exams and already taken their SATs. They're tested out. So I think as we draw the circle of constituents to move forward and along, I think we need to make sure the student voice is in there too. And maybe our new student board members could have some ideas on that. Certainly campus for campus, at least at the middle school, high school level, the voices could certainly help.
Sure.
Otherwise, the results may not be valid.
Yes.
To that point, we dealt with this issue about 7 years ago when I was a high school principal in a high school district. And what we concluded when we worked with our teachers was that our math and English teachers would give a half a grade bump if students met or exceeded on the state exam because there was a disconnection. And when there was a connection, we saw scores significantly increase because there was meaning to the question.
Yeah, what's in it for me is not a bad question for you.
It's a teenage mantra.
Thinking people, yeah.
Well, most of our
lots of good ideas like that.
It's school-wide.
It was district-wide.
District-wide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we were grappling with that issue. 11th graders have more important things to do than deal with this big test that's meaningless.
What kind of results?
We saw significant growth.
So how did you do that? Was it retroactively on the transcripts? Because we didn't get the STAR results until August.
Yeah, it was retroactive. So like summertime, or whenever grades came in, teachers and students would remind you that I get a half a grade bump.
Mm-hmm.
It meant something. It really was a change in the culture because we grappled. High school students don't take this stuff serious. And so we came up with this wonderful idea collectively with the teacher of how to make it create a nexus where it means something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those conversations at least.
Interesting.
And we do get the results much earlier now. We did get them this spring by kid.
Yeah.
So the or at least preliminary, they're not final, but we got preliminary school.
Mm-hmm. Like, keep in mind, that was called high school.
Yeah. 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 I miss you, Frank. I miss you after hearing that.
Well, my mother used to say, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nope. Well, that could be different.
It's an action item to a motion. To approve the LCAP?
Move approval.
Second.
And who was the second? Thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstained?
Aye.
Thank
you.
Now, the LCAP federal addendum.
Frank, the federal addendum.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Before you have the federal addendum, that's something into our LCAP that we have to approve separately. That's why you see two separate items. And so before you just see me for your approval and or your discussion. But it was discussed last week in great detail.
Are there further comments? Comments from the public? Bye. Okay, action item. Deb moves approval. Second?
Second.
Cindy, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay, 7-0.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item is approve and adopt the 18-19 budget.
Yes, I thought we could just do a quick recap. We provided two different bits of information tonight. It's, and again, a representation to you in a multi-year document of some of the changes that we spoke about in the last meeting. This is a quick recap of some of those components, right, what we talked about in the last meeting. I did have a conversation with Greg and Suzanne after our last meeting about whether or not we could incorporate some of the changes we just learned of in the state budget into our SACS report. You're taking action tonight on the SACS report, right? All the data in the adopted budget for all the funds. And to turn that around, to regenerate all new reports inclusive of this information, it was virtually impossible to do. So what we have shared with you tonight is an Excel spreadsheet, which is inclusive of those changes, which you will take action on at your first interim report. It'll be reflective of all those adjustments. And at the meeting I was at the county office today with all my colleagues, CBOs, they're doing similar things to what we're doing. they're sharing with their board what those changes are that are in the budget that's being brought forward, and they'll be incorporating those into their first interim report as well. So verbally I'll walk through those, and then we'll talk about the documents here in front of you. So again, we'll do a PowerPoint of these and summarize them for you. So we talked about the change in the recurring revenue going from...
I'm sorry, are we on item 8.5.2.1 or 2.2?
I'm blurring them, Nancy.
Okay, sorry.
You're going to take action on some, but there's information I'm providing 8.5.2.2, which you're going to take action on 8.5.2.1. Probably should have sequenced them.
The other way.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but I'm going to recap what's in 8.5.2.2.
Okay.
Verbally, and then we'll walk through the documents. Okay? Recall we talked about how the change in the proposed budget is going from, on a positive note, is going from a 3% COLA to a 3.7% COLA, which equates to about $261,000 of ongoing recurring revenue for the district. There was a change in the proposal from the one-time money dollar amount of $344 per ADA to $168 per ADA, so a decline of $174 per ADA, which amounts to a loss, a collective loss in one-time money in 18-19 of over $1 million. So when we get to the multi-year, I'm going to show you the increase in the recurring revenue, and then there's a line item called out for the decrease in one-time money from the state of in excess of $1 million in 18-19. I'll walk you through these, Sheila. The other things we talked about with you last time, too, were contribution. We made changes in your contribution, primarily associated with contribution associated with special ed. There's a big change in the dollar amount that we hear from the county and services. We talked about some of those items, too. The new LCI, the services we're providing in the district, is about $750,000 of change in contribution just for special ed associated with the county services. There's other components to that as well. We have some additional staffing changes which we've included, and I'll walk you through that exhibit too. The other thing to share with you on a positive note, since we spoke last time about having a session to look at food services in the fall. And I have had time to spend with Amy as well as Greg, and Amy shared with me in the past few days that she said she wasn't really on her game in May. And Amy's been she's done an incredible job this year. But her mother passed away, was terminally ill, and she said that from a budgeting process perspective, she would usually spend a lot more time with Greg in May, but she was distracted, and unfortunately her mother passed away. But on a positive note for us, the contribution I'll share with you tonight, the contribution for food services for the current year and for prospective years, we believe can be reduced by about $200,000. So as opposed to $546,000, we think we're in the $330,000 range. When they finalize all the closing the books this year, we'll come up with the final dollar amount for this year. So that'll be incorporated in your first interim as well. Okay, that's part of that contribution number. The last piece of the contribution, which there was a change associated with, is, and I think we spoke about this last time too, is the change in the retained restricted maintenance requirement. You are restoring that contribution for 18-19, and this year we took advantage of some flexibility, and as opposed to put money towards deferred maintenance, we redirect those dollars towards the curriculum master plan. Okay, so that's kind of me verbally telling these things, and we'll walk through some of these documents, and we'll come back to the 8.5.2 and ask you to take a free one, make a free one. Okay, so I'm sorry about this thing with the mural matching grant here, but Exhibit A.
You've had a revised cover sheet.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at this Exhibit A word pad here.
Mm-hmm.
And this calls out, for example, the contribution. We did some adjustments to our contribution between the workshop and the adopted budget. So I'm looking at Exhibit A. And the first line at the top says special ed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a change in, although there is still a contribution, an increased contribution to special ed, this document reflects for you the change between the workshop dollar amount and your adopted budget of a decrease of about $276,000 for your contribution. Yeah, although there's still...
Is that possible to put up on the screen also?
Except
it's in WordPad, it doesn't project?
Yeah.
It doesn't?
Okay. There's copies, I believe, on the data service books. Is that not great?
There's just one board book. It would be in that board book.
Yeah.
You're welcome to do that, yes.
Thanks, Claudia.
And it's going to be on page 605.
I'm good. So yeah, I'm only making 8, and what we want. It's in 8.5.2.2, and it says Exhibit A, contribution adjustments.
Gotcha.
On your board pad. Okay, and that's what Jeannie and Casey have to know.
Electronically, it's 572. I think. Page 572. Electronically? Okay, more or less.
Take an average.
Donation, cover yourself.
That's interesting.
Process-wise, what we were doing is we were reevaluating the contribution levels. We know we had an overall increase in our contribution between 17, 18, 18, 19, and this capturing what those increases were, but also an adjustment we made to these increases after we went back and revisited it. Okay, so this is an overall increase, but the adjustments in the multi-year relative to what you saw previously, there's a decrease of 276K, and Greg can walk through those components if you'd like. And also, on this Exhibit A, we have at the bottom there, you'll see these medical LEA billings, the other significant change of the $335,000. The adjustments made in the June 20th multiple-year projection of the $335,000, we made an adjustment to that dollar amount because we anticipated that there would be a decrease in the allocation we received for the medical LEA billings. We actually experienced that in 17-18. We had reflected in the 18-19 budget, but it was actually reflected in 17-18. So we made an adjustment to the 18-19 budget, okay? So that's that $335,000 component there. That's the June 20th adjustments, okay? Other things on here, the calls out this routine repair and maintenance, which we spoke about too, the restoration of that. And the other ones are kind of smaller dollar amounts. There's a Partnership Academy dollar amount there. There is a contractual benefits amount. There's a new teacher project, beginning teacher support, of an $11,000 adjustment. So if folks have questions about those, I think Greg can speak to that. But this is, again, kind of capture for you these contribution adjustments, which there was an increase in our contribution from 17-18 to 18-19, and then an adjustment to those as we revisited that. Also part of the contribution towards food services, we've had a chance to talk to Amy. We believe that will be decreased by $200,000 in the budget, the estimated amount for the current year, and then prospective years. So we'll make that adjustment in your first meeting. Okay. And I'm going to walk now to your Exhibit B on 8.5.2.2, and I'm going to walk Casey and Jeannie through that.
Can I just ask a quick question from Exhibit A?
There's hard copies there on the counter.
Pat, just a quick question from Exhibit A. Can you tell me what changed in our medical billing that we're not receiving those dollars anymore? And is there something we can do to capture them back?
So what I'll tell you, the frustrating thing about this, Patty, is that we're not the only district who experienced this loss. There are districts throughout the state who experienced this loss. And we, Chris and I, had conversations directly with the state about this.
Oh, so the state.
Yeah, although the state defined the parameters for what, in order to claim reimbursement for services that were provided to students, they changed those parameters and they subsequently audited relative to the change in those parameters. County
so
office.
Was that 13, 14 year, I think it was?
Okay, so it's about, I remember the conversation.
And and just for Cindy to hear too, so the county actually retained counsel and pursued it from a legal perspective and spent money on it because it was significant. And they lost that effort. So I've seen some strange things over the years. This is certainly one of the very strange
The young man on the phone didn't know how to answer our questions.
And just as a follow-up to that, in that reimbursement, was it around all medical services or any particular vein of services we were giving with?
Doctor, it had to do with... It had to do with...
Prescriptions and distributing medications to students.
Yeah. And having to have a doctor's, a record of a doctor something that we didn't have to have at that time as a part of our record.
For the need. Yeah. So you had to have the doctor's prescription of the need for the service prior to the prescription being given in order to be reimbursed. But that wasn't the rules when we were doing it. But it was the rules when they audited it.
But we actually have the doctor. We always have to have the doctor's prescription. But I think the thing was is that you had to have it as part of your auditing documents.
Right.
And we wouldn't have necessarily maintained those.
That's right.
Post.
We didn't keep copies of the doctor's notes associated with prescriptions. But the question we had for the state was, why would we go ahead and support someone if there wasn't a prescription?
Yeah, if there wasn't a prescription. Yeah.
A document, I mean, it just is very strange.
Well, and then also changing the parameters of the documentation they're requiring for the reimbursement. But thank you.
They share with us this PowerPoint that they said they shared with their third-party provider who we worked and contracted directly with, who was responsible for training districts. We said, if you made a claim, shouldn't that claim be against them? Who is?
And what...
Please.
One last thing. Does CSBA have anything going in that direction to address how that happened across the state and what we can do for policy to see if anything can be captured back?
I haven't asked it. When the county pursued it legally, Patty, I kind of dropped it. Good point, though.
Okay.
What entity made the decision that the county's case wasn't valid? Was it the state? Was it the same people who did it?
Yeah.
Or was it?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
While we're sitting here, I have a whole email string on it. I know after we finish this item, I'll spend a little time surfing, see if I can find some, and if I can share it with you, I'll
just,
share it with you.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to whether it was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a really strange. Strange.
Pat, if I wanted to ask a question about the decrease in the cafeteria fund, is this now the time to?
Sure.
Ask? I just wanted to know what. It's been so long that it seemed impossible to do that. What changed? Like,
so,
what happened?
First of all, I know that Amy. I think we had, from what I understand. We, in addition to managing the expenditures really well, we also had some staffing that we had some open positions. I know that Amy spent a lot of time working in our kitchens this year.
No.
I mean, and so I think that was a savings to us. There was some staffing changes made. I think also that Amy, I think she's done a brilliant job for us. I think that her estimates of revenue were conservative and should have been adjusted throughout the year. So I think she had good success in some of her enterprise funds, in some of her catering that she does, and we are probably a little too conservative in terms of what those estimates are. And frankly, I'll tell you...
She's doing catering all over the place.
Yeah.
She wanted to, for the upcoming year, for us to be very conservative as well. I said, Amy, I've got confidence in what you can do, and so what I'm going to do and move forward with, I expect that we'll do the same, we'll replicate what you did this year. And so we have confidence. We've done it on a repeated occasion, and she wants to be, she doesn't want to underachieve. So I think her estimates were too conservative on the revenue side, and I think that our expenditures estimates were a little inflated. And so between those two, the reconciliation and talking to Greg and talking to Amy, we've got to have this conversation sooner rather than June 20th when we're bringing this forward to you. And she said, I'm so sorry, Pat, May just got to me, and otherwise I would have had this conversation with Greg. We would have had that in detail. We didn't have it, so I apologize. I said, well, it's good news. I mean, it didn't swing the other way. It's good news we're saying we'll put money back in the budget, not that it's going the other direction.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, thank you. So, again, the multi-year projections you have here in this exhibit, we need to exhibit B, multi-year projection. This exhibit is reflective of those adjustments to revenue. It's reflective of things we talk about with the exception of food services. That food services will be a positive increase to the anticipated ending balance for the current year. And what the reserve would be as well. So that reserve will go up, and we'll model that out for folks too, so you see it, Casey. So when we talk to the teams about this, we'll model out that $200,000 adjustment in each of those years, which will decrease our expenditures, which will increase our reserve in each of those years. So this document is inclusive of the edits to the revenue at the state level. It also, if you're looking at this document, kind of calling out in 18-19, you will see in the 18-19 column, if you look close, the first number in that it starts out with 64,125,684. The second line item you see is 261,033. That's the increase of ongoing recurring revenue beginning in 18-19. Okay, if you go down two numbers, you'll see a decrease of $1,091,000. That is the loss or the decrease of the one-time money beginning in 18-19. So the good news is, we said the ongoing recurring revenue is going to increase $261,000 a year. So over a four-year period, we'll see that one-time money loss in 18-19. We'll see it over time. Okay. So that's where the revenue adjustments occurred on that list for time. Sorry. On the contribution amounts, the contribution is a net difference. The 16,588,203 is an adjustment to the contribution that's in the actual budget that we're going to take action on tonight. But again, I share with the county that we're sharing this document with you as well, and this will be reflected in the first interim report. So that contribution adjustment is incorporated in there as well. And it's also inclusive of the items we talked about in Exhibit A. Okay. The what we captured as well for you here, too, is on the unrestricted side. You'll see these changes in the bottom line numbers. If you go to year 2021, there is a 3.74% is what that that reserve amounts to, 3.74%. Two things. One is, again, that $200,000 adjustment in the current year and each of those prospective years will have a positive influence on this percentage. The other item I shared with Casey, and I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't share with you too, but we talked about it today at the county, is that the average anticipated growth in property taxes for the upcoming year is 4%. In our budget currently, there's 3% for 18-19, 19-20, and 2021. And our practice in the past has always been on the property tax side, we've put in 2%. So we've increased to 3% for each of those years. And in August, we'll know what the final number is for 17-18, any adjustments, and that's why we have that language in our contract and our agreement says if we have a change, we'll talk about that in the fall with everybody, and then we'll also know in August what we should know explicitly for our district. So we'll change in our first interim. We will edit the property tax number for our district. It's going to affect our elementary district's basic aids. We'll adjust our property taxes. If it goes up to 4% from 3%, it's about $200,000. And that's a recurring increase as well, too. Right now in here is 3%. If it's adjusted by 1%, that's roughly $200,000. And that's a initial and a recurring increase. So we'll flush out what that increase is as well. So that's what we told people in the board workshop. We talked about 3%. We talked about it verbally last time. We talked about the table to everybody. We're reminding folks tonight, too, in our budget tonight to take action on is 3%. If it does go to 4%, and 4% is an average for the county, which means some people will be higher, some people will be lower. But we'll have clarity on that number two for the 18-19 year in August, and we'll adjust that in our first interview.
I think, unless I just heard you wrong, that you said if we go from 2 to 4%, it's $200,000. And then you said if you go from 3 to 4%, it's $200,000. Which is
3 to 4 is $200,000.
3 to 4, okay.
So 1 percentage point is $200,000.
That's right. Your property taxes for the elementary district are around $26 million. And so a 1% adjustment on that gives you
right.
that number.
Okay.
Okay, somewhere in that ballpark. Okay. So again, those will all be woven into this document shared with the team. And so that's kind of a quick recap of what we wanted to share with you before you take action on the other, on the actual budget itself. Jeremy, any questions?
Yeah, how close are we at the secondary level to becoming a basic aid district?
I think about $10 million gap.
Okay. So and then, second question, the mysterious ever-present books and supplies. We go from $6.2 million in this year's budget to $3.2 million, to $2.8 million, to $2.9 million. Can you just take us through that for
30 seconds? The one-time money. The one-time money that we turned down.
So it's a, and it's a catch.
The current year one-time money, Greg, is is it $2 million in the current year?
So the one-time, it reduced, it was 2.1, we reduced that by 1.9, so it's about a million there.
But the current year one-time money.
I think the question on books and supplies, there was, part of the curriculum master plan is around $865,000 in textbooks,
okay,
instruction material that's planned in the curriculum master plan this year. It's not built in the budget for next year, but we're using reserves that have been set aside to fund that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It then seems, is it a correct assumption to make that this money in books and supplies should take care of our textbook needs in terms of adoptions?
For a very focused, because we talk about the workshop, we still have to go through NGSS, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have to go through social science. So.
Really? Okay.
So
it's going to, elementary ELA is what we have budgeted right now.
It's only a fraction of what you need to address it all.
Other questions? Okay, we're going to vote on item 8.5.2.1. Do we have a motion?
We're moving to adopt it, is it order?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I move to adopt it.
Okay. Was there anyone that wanted to make a comment? Is there a second? All in favor? Mm-hmm. Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? 7-0. And then we've covered item 8.5.2.2. Item
8.5.3.1,
BS.
No, I'm just making my notes, sorry.
All right. approve the FCCCE tentative agreement.
Yes. Now for the fun stuff in HR. Tonight I'm referring to a tentative agreement for approval with the FCCCE. As you know, we're still in negotiations, but this is the first piece that we wanted to bring forward to you tonight. With offering folks the recommendations from the Ewing study that the salary schedule that the Purcell Commission recommended, as well as status quo and health and welfare, and adding an additional day for our 9-month employees for professional development. So I bring forward to you for a recommendation.
Move approval. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Abstain? Opposed? Okay. 7-0. And our next item is the final reading and approval of classified job descriptions.
So I bring forward to you 34, revised classified job description. This came out of our Ewing study. We will have a few more to bring to you in August, but just a tiny handful. And feeling good that we've completed the our job descriptions per the Ewing study.
This has been a huge undertaking.
Oh, yeah, Patty.
Oh, I would just like to ask the classified representation if they had any concerns or anything they wanted the board to know on this matter.
On the classification study?
Correct. On the approval of the job descriptions.
I was on the personnel commission meeting, so they were talking about the recruitment, so I feel confident. I would have spoken about it.
No, yeah, well, sometimes we're moving along and things happen, so thank you for your input.
Other comments or questions? Jeremy?
When was the last time previous to this study that we had done such a comprehensive study?
20 years.
20.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Patty, and a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstained?
I thought it would be a packed house and this was on the agenda, so I'm a little surprised.
I think the public realized you were going to be the speaker tonight.
We'll just speak.
Just press the button and keep it pressed for a minute. It should turn green, yes?
So it is... When Chris asked kind of to reflect on the year, this is something that I know I'm proud of. I mean, Casey's proud of too, the work that we've done towards our PAL work. Our design outcome has been to build a positive problem-solving collaborative district, beginning at the district and the e-board level, down to all of our school site teams, and we were able to take that jump this year, which was really exciting. So how did we get here? We had a collective desire to change how we were working together. It was part of Chris's goals from the beginning, and it was the infamous negotiations a few years ago with the shift in compensation really led us to negotiating differently and thinking, wow, if we can do this a little bit differently, I bet we can do a lot of things differently. So in 14-15, again, we changed the way we negotiated to more of a collaborative manner. We, being the classified leaders, certificated leaders, management, and board members, I believe Jeremy went to the first one with us way back when at CMLI, California Management and Labor Initiatives meetings. We went to a couple in 14-15 and 15-16. We took a little break in 16-17, kind of felt like we had enough knowledge and we were moving through on some things. And then this year we were able to go to the ABC conference with our classified leaders, our certificated leaders, and Chris and myself. And that was really interesting to see how another school district who's kind of led this initiative and structures and things that they have going for them. Casey and I had the pleasure this year also going to Salinas to a CMLI training, and we took Brent Klein and Veronica, who is the site rep at Santa Cruz High, with us. And that was our first chance to kind of start talking about how do we see this at the site level? What could we do? And how could we be working on it? They got excited and started reaching out to our sites that the expectation is to have a building team at every site. So the site rep along with the admin team, they come together. And some of our schools were already doing that. Some were not. And even those that were doing it had some things that they've improved on and will continue. So a real highlight was our first annual SCCS PAL meeting this spring. I know we talked about that a little bit. We brought all of our site reps and all of our admin together, and we talked about how we work together in the same way that we kind of modeled what we had been doing with the e-board and our cabinet group. And it was a really wonderful afternoon. And Claudia was there Claudia, you were there the whole time. And it was really fun to kind of start sharing what we had been collecting over the years and bringing it to our sites.
So at that meeting that Molly was just talking about, each of the site teams broke them into groups, the principal or at secondary level, more than one principal, vice principals too, and then site reps, and they talked about how are we going to do this at our site. Harbor High, I think, is now meeting twice a month, but most sites are meeting once a month. Sites, we're encouraging sites to have shared agendas so that there's no surprises when they get into the meeting. We talked about how if there's an urgent problem, this isn't the vehicle. That's, you know, a one-on-one communication. But this would be the site meetings between the site reps and admin would be a way to deal with kind of things that are going to arise, problems that come up, and you can solve it. And that model actually started with our monthly cabinet meeting, I want to say like 3 years ago, where Chris started a shared agenda, and anyone on the agenda could add to the agenda. And then we go through these issues and try to solve them or look for solutions before they become problems. And so that's what we're trying to replicate at the site level. And as Molly said, you know, it really depends on the site team and how far along they are, but we'll keep trying to help them with that work. So the other thing that I know that Jeannie wants to work on too, and we've heard from some of the classified staff, is that they would like to start developing this too. And we were just talking yesterday when we had our cabinet meeting about how, at least when we do the budget presentations at the cabinet meeting, that would be a time for Jeannie and her team to join us and do an overlap so that we could all be hearing the same information. One of the things that we did to recognize this increased role of site reps is that site reps have one of their adjunct duties now count as being a site rep. We actually count for all their adjunct duties. But because it's a lot of work. But there was that little bit of fear, I think, at the elementary level, mostly about all the committee work. But it did mean a lot to the reps to have the role recognized in that way. And then we want to make this town meeting annual. And next year, echoing Jeremy's concerns, is we're going to focus on curriculum. We're planning the meeting for October 1st. And we're going to have Julia, Marianne, and Dorothy come and present what the initiatives are in those four areas. And then we'll have the site teams look at how that's being implemented at their site, what are their needs, you know, where are their concerns, what are they doing well, and that kind of thing. So it's a short amount of time, but at least, I think what we heard when we had the day at Harvey West, that people said, wow, that time is so valuable. We had to make them stop. So next steps would be including the classified more in what we're doing with our power, continuing to look at different ways to build the structure, like next year bringing in the curriculum piece, and examining other structures for the district sites around professional development. When we went to the ABC conference, that was an area that was really focused on in terms of collaboration, making the PD meaningful. And I'll just add, not on here, but you might wonder what relationship does this have to negotiations? And when we went to ABC, what they said is you still negotiate, you still bargain hard, you know, usually about salary. But you can use this in ways to work together on other issues. And we did begin to use it this year in terms of our negotiations. And your next item that you're going to look at was really historic in our district. And it was a result of that. The district sunshine, the evaluation article, and our response was, yay, because to teachers it was a really meaningless section of the contract. And so we said, let's get together and have a working group. We brought in people that weren't Sarah Hapner from Westlake, who was not on our negotiations team at the time. Martha, is Molly, Brent Klein, and Amariah, and ourselves. And we started with doing research. And it was not at all like traditional negotiations where I hand you a paper and you hand me back a paper. It was truly a working group that developed this document together. So I would say, I mean, we're really proud, and our teachers are very excited about this document, which doesn't happen that often, something like that. So I think for the first year together, we feel like we really have made progress, and we want to thank Chris because I know that you kept this at the forefront ever since you became superintendent, and for a while there was, you know, not a lot of enthusiasm. So thank you for moving us in that direction.
Thank you all for the hard work.
And that is a wrap.
And Sheila has a question.
No, I don't have a question. I just think this is like the greatest. I mean, it's so exciting that you did it. It's so exciting the difference is made, and the ways in which it's changing the discussion of negotiations too, you know, even though I'm sure there'll be some times. But I just really, I appreciate both of you and Chris, you know, backing it, both of you doing this. It's really a great thing. So I just wanted to say that.
Mine's also a comment. You know, as you were going through this and we have the collaborative structures, I'm really, really very pleased to see the proactive approach and the frameworks that are now becoming in place that are really meeting the needs, site development, not, I don't want to use this word, so I'm going to say, not in blanketing overall, which doesn't necessarily fit all our different sites. So for that, I'm very happy. I'd like to recognize our superintendent for continuing to keep that at the forefront. You know, there are a million other things going on at all times, so that is huge. And lastly, I just would like to also point to the part that I think that it will benefit not only between this working collaboration, is where I see that it'll filter to the students, the people that we're really here for. So I really appreciate all the efforts there. Thank you.
Other comments? No, hold on. I would like to say how well you facilitated together, and you actually demonstrated collaboration as you were facilitating. That's really
that is something that they do at ABC. Yeah. They always present together. Uh-huh. So we did that at our PAL workshop.
Well done.
And pointed it out to folks that, you know, presenting in a staff meeting, it's powerful that the site rep and the principal up there talking together. Mm-hmm. So yeah. We get to present. Yeah, and Dee, we look forward to having you join us.
I really look forward to working with you guys next year on this, because that's something that we all need to do is communicate better. And we're a new classified union now, so we're calling ourselves Local 6084.5. Because we're new improved, we hope. So we're looking forward to working with you.
Yay.
Yeah. Remind me what ABC, there are three districts. What are they?
It's the ABC school district.
I know,
ABC
Unified. What did the A and the B and the C stand?
Azusa. Bellflower.
Right.
It's Costa Mesa. Costa Mesa Inland, and what is it?
A is Azusa.
So it's up in that center gate.
They've been doing this for 10 years. This was their 10th year anniversary when we went down there.
Yeah, the second day we were there was actually their PAL meeting. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of well-served their PAL meeting. They're a bigger district than we are. But it was interesting, and it was great to have everyone there to kind of ground us together.
And their collaboration has had tremendous impact on student outcomes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We should have said that. Yeah. It's really based on research of student outcomes, and districts that are working in a collaborative manner have seen some really high, based on of the research by.
We didn't really want to stay here for an hour, but when we did the Harvey West presentation, there's Saul Rubenstein out of Rutgers University, who has done, this is his field of research. He's a professor, a parent of students, and a school board member back around wherever that area is in Rutgers. And so he's done this and seen that there's a more significant variance to the positive in districts where there's collaboration between teachers and staff and management, everybody. That is a more significant factor than even poverty or any of the other programs that
he's looked at, and he's been doing this longitudinal work, and so we were able to actually see him at the, but his stuff is online.
Sal Rubenstein?
Yeah, from Rutgers University. It's very good.
Did you say Rubenstein or Rosenstein?
Did I say it wrong? I might
no,
have said
I don't.
I remember.
I'm not sure which one
Rubenstein.
I heard.
Rubenstein. We can send you. We have the video.
Yeah, like it's everybody rowing in the same.
Yeah.
That's how we started our PAL meeting, when looking at some research.
And it is, and it's exactly what Jeremy was saying. Like, how do you get the word out to teachers, to classified staff, to everybody, that everybody's working together? And so what he was saying, what his study shows, is that when you collaborate, not, you know, he looked at different collaboration, like there's collaboration in terms of negotiations and problem solving. That's good. That is a positive effect, but if you start collaborative conversations ongoing about professional development, then that's when you really see a boost in student achievement.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Those test scores coming over.
Okay, well, our next item is approving the tentative agreement, GSCFT and SCCS.
So as Casey mentioned, I'm really, really proud to bring this forward to you. I think in my 4 years of doing this job, this is probably the most exciting thing I've done. We did have an evaluation system that was not effective. It was a lot of work for administrators, and it didn't mean much to teachers. So kind of the opposite of what you want. And this working group came together with those two things really in mind. We want it meaningful and we want it doable. And so we come forward with our new evaluation tool. We know that there's going to be some tweaks in it. We know that there'll be some things that we need to clarify. I have no doubt collaboratively we'll figure those things out as they come up. The administrators, when we presented this, were really excited. It is based on the standards for the teaching profession or whatever the standards are for that group, the librarians or the psychologist or speech and language. There's three choices. There's the traditional method of going in and observing and having those conversations. There's a project, which we've had in our contract, but it's much more detailed in this one. And we have a peer observation. And so teachers have choices as they go through, and I think that really is a meaningful process as well. So I bring forward to you our new evaluation article that we're really excited to roll out. It is not a pilot. It is not a draft. It is our article, and we will continue to improve as we go on those things that, you know, we missed or that need to be clarified.
Didi?
I just wanted to say what I really appreciate about this is that it's infused with growth mindset, that we're thinking of our teachers as growing individuals professionally, and we're trying to infuse that with our students as well. So we're reflecting what we're practicing what we preach, so to speak, in our work with teachers, so that's really exciting.
Other comments or questions? It's okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say congratulations. I know how much work this represents, and I love the choices. I think the project ideas right in the documents are great ideas, some wonderful ideas there, and pure observation can be so powerful, and I think the choice is so important. Mm-hmm. And also, I've been involved with systems that's very similar to this, and it's very, very powerful in terms of those professional conversations. And I would say yes, I assume that researcher, Dr. Rubenstein, is probably right, that it does bring a lot of focus on curriculum and instruction, and I think it'll be very powerful for the district, if well implemented, and I trust it will be, given the ongoing collaboration. So, well done. Thanks.
Move approval.
Second. Thank you. Patty and Sheila, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstained, hello. And our next item is 8.5.3.5, declaration.
Miss Molly again,
I know. Saved the best for the last meeting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm on the wrong one. I got so excited about that last one. This one. So I bring forth a recommendation for the board to adopt the annual declaration of need for fully qualified educators as committed. We always overestimate this, so you probably are seeing numbers going, really, do we need that many? We probably don't, but this does give us a little leeway in our hiring practices, especially as we get to August. Although at this point in time, I believe we have a psychologist open, a part-time core, and we're waiting to hear back on a few people. So we really do, I wish we were 100% staffed. But I think given the climate that we're in, we're doing pretty well. And so I don't see us needing these, but this is kind of a blanket declaration that we bring forward every year.
Questions or comments? Public? Is there a motion?
I'll approve.
Okay, Deb moves approval. Second?
Second.
Patty and Cindy, take your choice. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, abstained, 7-0. Okay. Our next item is the possible items for future meeting agendas. And I see Jeremy's light.
So I have two at this point, and I think one is agreed upon that sometime in the fall we'll be looking at food services. And breaking that down, it'd be interesting, for example, for me to find out how much money we get from the Fed, so stuff like that. And then the second one, sort of Chris's eyes light up as mine did, in terms of how do we incentivize students and teachers to do really well on this test, besides Skittles and donuts. If in fact it's this exciting, rigorous, challenging, thought-provoking test, then maybe we can promote it in other ways, like Frank has mentioned. That would be really interesting to think about, and I think that would be an area that the board could cover and maybe be able to give some direction district-wide. Does that make sense?
I also heard from you that you were interested in learning about what other districts are doing.
Yes, that's what I want to an executive summary.
What other districts are doing?
Do you want that as an executive summary in writing, or do you want that as a board presentation? I'd ask the board.
Yeah.
I could have it in writing.
In writing, it's okay with me.
I think it kind of depends on what we don't know. So
I've talked to you about some of it. What we've been learning, what we learned from my vote.
But I mean, is it like if we saw it, if there was demonstration, if we saw something visual, would it be much more helpful than it would be to have it in writing, or is it the same?
Yeah, I think it's information I could probably provide you in our monthly meetings, just kind of what we learned from the. Or we could have people come and present. We just still kind of need to look at the calendar because we have a really full governance calendar. What do we want to pull? So it's the will of the board.
Yeah,
I think in writing.
So I'm hearing more in writing.
In writing.
In writing,
but
yeah.
Then there could be, there. In my opinion, there should be then a discussion of what steps we may take in terms of this coming year. If we want to make some changes in terms of how we structure or incentivize the testing, I'd like that to be an agendized item that we can talk about.
Could that be a part of our CAS report when we do our report on testing?
When
is that?
September.
That's prior to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have some fun. It'll be on my next CFP meeting agenda to talk about ideas that our union leadership may have.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, and then the rest of the board on the food service, does everybody want to hear that report as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And are there any other ideas that people want to bring up?
Ideas out.
All right, then we're going to adjourn the meeting. Great summer.
Before we leave, I would just like to say we plan on having an inter-district transfer appeal hearing on August 15th. I know some of you might still be gone on your annual vacations or whatever, but if anybody's able to participate, please let me know as soon as you could, August 15th. There won't be anything else on that agenda because some people, I just don't think we'll have a huge quorum of people, but we'd like to be able to have at least four and hopefully five. That'll be a Wednesday. Everything we do is a Wednesday.
That's
okay, so just email me or whatever if you think you might be able to do that. Oh, thank you. Okay.
We have it listed as a board meeting on our.
Yeah, but I have it in my calendar.
Happy summer, everybody.
And you may have I do. I have three items. One is going to be a written report. And then followed up with a discussion on the
Yeah,
that we're
going to
talk about a little bit. That is going to be a summary.
She predicted the clock.
That was my prediction.
That was my prediction.
And actually, I'm happy that I'm wrong because it was 7:58.
Anne Marie will be surprised.
Pretty darn close.
It's hard to dark.
Okay, why did that deliver? Is this not going to go out?
Oh, maybe I could bring it out of here.
Okay. Oh, man.
Okay.
So, what is it? Oh, okay.
Hopefully it'll be a short meeting, yeah. Yes. Oh, lovely.